I want to take verse 11 as my text this evening. God says to the children, the descendants of Esau, the Edomites, in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captivous forces and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, even thou wast as one of them. The prophet Obadiah was sent to the nation of Edom with a message of recompense, a message of judgment for their action towards the children of Israel. The Israelites had suffered severely at the hands of the Babylonians. The armies of Nebuchadnezzar had entered the city of Jerusalem. They had ransacked the city. They had toppled its buildings. They had taken away its possessions. They had slaughtered its people. They had brought great cruelty and great suffering into the midst of the children of Israel. And the Edomites, although they had not perpetrated those acts, nevertheless they had refused to offer any help or any succor to the children of Israel. They did nothing to help. But now God calls them to account and he pronounces their perdition. They were branded amongst the perpetrators of these evil deeds. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, even thou wast as one of them, one of the Babylonians. Even though they had not entered the city as the invading force, even though they had not plundered the city, God said, in the day thou stoodest on the other side, even thou wast as one of them. The Edomites thought that they could take a position of neutrality. They did not attack the Israelites, but nor did they help them in the hour of their need. In their eyes, in the eyes of the Edomites, their position was that of neutrality. But for them, in the eyes of God, their action was condemned. Their indifference, their heartless neutrality, made them in the sight of God one with the open foe. This chapter brings to our consideration the men who simply did nothing, but it was enough. They stood on the other side. They stood at the crossways. They watched and they refused to give help. They did nothing. But in doing nothing, it was enough to bring the judgment of God upon them. It has often been said, what does it take for evil to advance? All it takes for evil to advance is for men to do nothing. Good men to do nothing. And what does it take for the perdition of a soul? It simply takes that soul to do nothing in order to perish. If a man is to be saved, he must come to Christ. He must receive the Savior. He must repent of his sin. He must believe on the Lord Jesus. But if he fails to do that, if he just carries on as he is, if he does nothing, it will be enough to bring his everlasting perdition, his everlasting condemnation. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, taking that position of neutrality, refusing to help the Israelites, even thou wast as one of them. What was God saying to the Edomites regarding this action on their part? This decision of neutrality, this decision to do nothing? God was reminding them that they had come to a moment of decision. The Edomites may not have considered or recognized the suffering of the Israelites to be a moment of decision for them, but that's exactly what God was declaring it to be. The Israelites were suffering for their sin. They turned away from God, the favored nation. Had turned away from God. They had embraced idolatry. They had descended into immorality. And God sent prophet after prophet, messenger after messenger. And yet for all that, they refused to turn from their evil way. And so God permitted the armies of the Babylonians to come to invade the city of Jerusalem, plunder and destroy it. And the people were taken away into captivity. Yes, they were suffering for their sin. Many were slaughtered, but there were some who escaped, and in their flight from Jerusalem, they turned towards the south country, the land that was occupied by the Edomites. And you'll remember they were descendants of Esau, the brother of Jacob. They were near relations. The approach of the suffering Israelites, the afflicted Israelites, presented a moment of decision. The Edomites were faced with a decision. Would they help their brethren? Would they identify with their relations? Or would they not identify with them? It was a moment of decision. The decision was clear. It was straightforward. They could not be neutral. Would they enter into their sorrows? Or would they pass away? Would they turn their back? A moment of decision. You remember how the Lord told the parable of the Good Samaritan it's referred to, how the man had gone down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fallen among thieves. And there were some men coming from the temple that day, a Levite and a priest, and when they saw that man half dead, they were faced with a moment of decision. What would they do? Would they stop and help the man, or would they pass on? Would they reason to themselves better not to take sides, better to remain neutral? But it was a moment of decision, and so it was for the Edomites. A moment of decision as the suffering Israelites approached them. There is another scene that presents itself to every one of us. A much more solemn scene, but one which likewise presents the sons of men with a moment of decision. It's the sight of the suffering Savior. The afflicted Son of God, the one crowned with thorns, despised and rejected of men, and smitten and afflicted of God. Unlike the Israelites, he does not suffer for his own sins. He suffers for the sins of others, sins he did not commit. He suffered in the room of guilty sinners so that they might be delivered from the curse of a broken law. He suffers to purchase redemption and pardon and salvation, that men may be set free from the curse of everlasting darkness. And from that scene of suffering, he comes to every one of us, to everyone who will hear the gospel. And as he approaches us, that approach presses upon every one of us a moment of decision. Will we identify with him? Will we side with him? Will we receive him? Will we welcome him? It was the very same for the Edomites. As their brethren were passing by, would they side with them? Would they identify with them? Would they welcome and receive them? And as the suffering Savior, Savior who suffered and bled and died, passes by the sons of men, the same moment of decision faces the sinner. It's a question in which there can be no neutrality. The Lord Jesus said, "He that is not for me is against me." There's no middle ground here. There's no neutrality. Men like to think that they can be neutral in this issue, but they're either for Christ or they're against Him. They're either on the side of Christ or they're on the side that is lined against Him. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, thou wast as one of them. You remember that occasion in the camp of Israel when they had sinned against God and introduced idolatry, and Moses stood in the midst and he said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come on to me." There are only two sides in this world. The side that is for Christ and the side that is against Him. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your soul will be asking, "What will He do with me?" A moment of decision. And every time that a man, a woman, a young person hears the gospel in whatever form, that individual is faced with a moment of decision. Will you side with Christ? Or will you side against Him? This message of God revealed that they were at a moment of decision. And you tonight are at a moment of decision, not saved. What will you do with Christ, the Savior who suffered and bled and died? Will you side with Him, or will you stand on the other side? Not only was it a moment of decision, it was a manifestation of depravity. The failure of the Edomites to help and assist their brethren in the day of distress was really an opening up, an uncovering, an unveiling of their heart. The unveiling of an evil heart. True it is, they were not guilty of the sins that the Babylonians were guilty of. They hadn't invaded the city of Jerusalem. They hadn't carried out the barbaric acts that the Babylonians had carried out. Yet their failure, their refusal to help the Israelites revealed a heart that was evil. God said to them, "In the day thou stoodest on the other side, even thou wast as one of them." You were just like them. That's what God is saying. You were just like them. You were as them. Oh, your hand may not have drawn the sword that brought forth the blood of the Israelites, but you were just as them. You were just as one of them. You were standing on the other side. Their heart was evil. God says in verse 12 of this chapter that they spoke proudly in the day of distress. They were full of pride. Verse number 3, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee." They were not guilty of the outward actions, the outward crimes, but inwardly their heart was evil. Their heart was full of pride and full of wickedness. There's many people who think that mere outward acts of sin will be the only cause of man's judgment and man's perdition, but this text reveals to us that a man may not necessarily commit murder or theft or adultery, but yet perish. The law of God casts its searchlight upon the heart. And whilst the outward actions of a man may be restrained from gross acts of evil, his heart within may be vile and proud and wicked. Is that not the message? Not only of the prodigal son, but of the elder brother. The elder brother had not stooped to the sins of the prodigal brother, the prodigal son. In fact, he boasted of all that he had done. "Neither transgressed I thy law at any time." But yet his heart was evil. His heart was wicked and proud and vile. It's not merely the outward acts that we need to be concerned with, but the inward condition of the heart. And here these men, these people of Edom, faced with this moment of decision, would they identify with their suffering brethren? Their choice to stand on the other side, but revealed and manifested the evil of their heart. Yes, men may think to themselves and comfort themselves in thinking that they can be neutral in relation to Christ. But if they do not identify with Him, if they do not actually receive Him, then they are refusing Him. They are rejecting Him. And that act reveals the condition of their heart. It reveals the sinfulness and the vileness and the pride of their heart. And God reveals it to be so. It was a moment of decision. It was a manifestation of depravity. But it was also a message of destiny. This decision of the Edomites to remain neutral, as they thought, brought far-reaching consequences. It determined their destiny. Their choice to stand on the other side and not identify and help the suffering Israelites brought to them a fearful end. Verse number 15. And God said, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head." Verse 18, "The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau." Do you see the extent, the consequence of this action, this so-called indecisiveness, this choice of neutrality? They thought that it would bring to them no consequence, and yet it was the very action, the very decision that brought an end to their existence as a nation. God says that He would cut them off. There would not be any remaining of the house of Esau. And tonight, the nation of Esau is no more. The nation of Israel is still here. The natural descendants of Abraham, but the natural descendants of Jacob's brother Esau have long since ceased to exist upon the face of the earth. And it's all because of this decision to stand on the other side, this refusal to identify with the suffering Israelites. What they thought would be a matter of little significance and no consequence actually turned out to be a matter of their very existence. Their existence as a nation was terminated as a result. There's many people tonight and they think that they can ignore the claims of Jesus Christ. That doesn't affect me, they think. That doesn't relate to me. That doesn't have any bearing on me. That doesn't have any concern with me. They think that they can adapt this so-called neutral position. Oh, they may not lift their hand to persecute the Church of Jesus Christ and the cause of Christ. But nonetheless, they're standing on the other side. And that decision will not be without consequence. How fearfully wrong the Edomites were. And how fearfully wrong is every man and every woman who thinks that he or she may pass the gospel without any consequence. Jesus Christ decides a man's eternal destiny. The relationship of the soul to Christ determines the eternity of that soul. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God hath not life. Men hear of Christ. Men are confronted with the message of the gospel and they pass on, thinking it were but a little thing. But the Word of God teaches that that very action will reach down into God's eternity and bring consequences that shall never end. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 25, you will see that the Lord has emphasized this. I've been looking at the days of the Lord as He neared the cross. And I have been especially looking at the things that the Lord talked about. What did the Lord speak about as He neared the cross? And you'll discover that He gave a series of parables, and those parables relate to His second coming. You see, when you get near the cross, you'll begin to think about the second coming. You'll begin to think about the day of judgment. The two go together. The nearer that you get to the cross, the day of judgment will be in view. It's an interesting study. And the Lord here in Matthew 25, as He nears the cross, He begins to tell, or He carries on, He continues this theme regarding the end of the age. He tells of that time when all nations shall be gathered before Him. And He says concerning that day that He will separate between the righteous and the unrighteous. Verse 41, then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. You see, that's what the Lord was saying to the Edomites. As the suffering Israelites were coming, approaching them, they stood on the other side. It was a moment of decision. Would they stand with or against? Would they identify with them or stand against them? A moment of decision manifested the depravity of their heart, and it determined the destiny of their soul. The Lord is saying here that you cannot be neutral in relation to Him. You're either for Him or you're against Him. You either identify with Him or you do not identify with Him. And whatever the decision is, whatever the choice is, it brings eternal consequence. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Therefore, depart from me into everlasting fire, everlasting punishment. A man's response to Jesus Christ has eternal consequence. There is no more important decision. There is no more important choice. There is no more important matter in life than a man's relationship to Jesus Christ. The Lord says, in the day that you stood on the other side, even thou wast as one of them. There's no neutrality here. We're either for Christ or we're against Him. We either receive Him or we reject Him. We may not do what others do. We may not go to the lengths that others go. But in the day that we stand on the other side, we're numbered among them. We're numbered amongst them. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? What side are you on tonight? That's the question that comes to every one of us. The best side, the only side, is the side of Christ. May God help us to learn from the Edomites. And may God give us grace to identify with Christ, his Son, and stand on the Lord's side. Let's turn